If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Those are the words from the woman who had been suffering for 12 years. And my pastor friend, Nate Sutton, at Peace Lutheran in Washington State, calls this the logic of desperation. If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. And it sounds familiar in our day and age and context. How about these? If I but starve myself, I will be perfect. If I but undergo one more treatment, I will finally be a parent. If I but endure the abuse, I will keep the roof over my head. If I but exchange my pills for needles, I will satisfy my craving. If I but end my life, I will be at peace. If I but cross through the border checkpoint, I and my children will be safe. You see, our gospel story today speaks of this kind of logic. Jairus, the father, is desperate for his adolescent daughter that she may be made well and live, and a woman desperate for relief from her suffering that would have marked her ritually unclean and put her outside of the community for 12 long years. The logic of desperation. And when one is desperate, 12 years can seem like a lifetime. You see, even at our lowest points, we are one step away from either being enlightened or being in the pit of despair. And we experience Jesus today who desperately wants to know who touched him, which mystifies the disciples who are with him. You see, Jesus wants to be known not just as the miracle worker, but as someone who is in relationship with us. Once the woman comes forward, Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And Jesus doesn't let that moment just pass. He says to her, "You have used your gift of faith, and relying on that, you are whole." Father Richard Rohr calls this wholeness a bigger pattern. And without faith in this bigger pattern and the grace to surrender to that bigger pattern, most of us will move from despair and negativity and even into cynicism. You see, this bigger pattern of life moves us beyond despair and desperation. It moves us to put our faith into action, to move from despair to hope and from hope to faith, and perhaps even the audacity to break social norms so restoration and healing can break through. It's the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom breaks through, and God shines forth. The hemorrhaging woman has the audacity to break all kinds of social norms when she reaches out and touches Jesus' robe without permission to claim her own healing. She is breaking all protocols as a Palestinian woman 2,000 years ago. And talk about faith. There's Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, whose faith has called him to fall at the feet of Jesus. How humiliating that must have looked to the rest of the leaders of the synagogue. And these examples challenge us to examine our own faith, asking how we find the strength to claim God's promises of healing and hope for ourselves, and how we empower others to do the same, especially when all around us the world seems desperate. Just like the kids in this chart of emoticons, do you ever have one of these or have taken a test of what your feelings are? Most days I need this chart of emoticons. I'm not sure what the feelings are. But I know when I am feeling impatient, obnoxious, excited, grumpy, scared, desperate, I need a promise. We need a promise of hope. Otherwise, we give up. Friends, we call this grace. The truth is, we are all yearning to be made a new person. God, who extends grace, gives it away then. Through our actions, And Richard Rohr says that when we have not yet learned what transformation feels or looks like, someone, perhaps some loving human or simply God's own embrace, needs to hold us now because we cannot hold ourselves. And when we experience this radical holding, this deep loving, just like Jesus was when he extended himself and yearned to be in relationship with the woman suffering from 12 years of bleeding or the little daughter whom Jesus whispered, "Little girl, get up." This is the healing power of God. Jesus is the one who brings truth and the way and the life and always leads us to life. So as I was reading this scripture this week, I have a Bible that I go back to time and time again that has all my notes scribbled into it. It's my anchor. And this piece of paper fell out from the beginning of the book of Mark, and scratched on there was a quote that said, "The truth is that our finest moments are most likely to occur when we're feeling deeply uncomfortable, unhappy, or unfulfilled." Isn't that true? "For it is only in such moments, prepared by our discomfort, that we are willing to step out and start searching for different ways and truer answers." And so there's a big question that sits in this room. Maybe not, but it sits with me. How does this happen? How? How does this healing happen when we are uncomfortable? When we're looking for truer answers, when we are unhappy. And perhaps a closer look at healing holds the answers, because every one of those desperate situations that I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon, healing can occur through God's intervention and through the action of another human being. When we are starving to be perfect, what if someone told you simply that you are enough? What if the person who was desperate to conceive a child looked at the definition of family in a different way? When you think the world would be better off without you, what if someone simply said to you, "You matter"? And don't we all believe that families belong together in safety and peace? Every one of these situations needs advocacy and strength and the kindness of strangers to hold the light for them when they cannot. And we also have the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God living in me and living in you. For Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 6 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." How? Jennifer read to us that beautiful reading from Lamentations. And in the Hebrew Bible, Lamentations has the title "How." In the very first chapter, this is the word spoken of the poem: "How lonely sits the city that once was full of people." Grief and love is what we heard about in chapter 3 of Lamentations. Grief and love are the same coin, just different size. We grieve because we have loved much. And when we grieve, hope can emerge in a quiet place, and then gone is our glory, replaced by the glory of God. We trust that our God, who fills each aching heart with peace beyond our understanding, grief and love, this is the grace of God. Our healing may not be a cured disease, but healing can happen in our lives, with our families, and with the grace and forgiveness offered to us today. You see, steadfast love is not the passing phase of God, but rather a foundational part of God's character. So today, following the sermon, we are going to have an opportunity for prayers of healing. And the question is, where do you need to be made well? And that, my friends, might be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, because God is yearning to show you compassion and love. Do not despair, but have faith. You are worthy of Jesus' healing. Our loving God who sent us Jesus, who was born of a woman, slipped into human skin, and showed us how to live, is with us here today, living among us, known as the Holy Spirit, abiding in each of us. And it connects and it binds us together, just like the woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' robe. We can confidently reach out in the presence of this congregation. Here we find healing by the gift of presence and being heard. We will find the anointing blessing of Almighty God, who loves us fiercely and who will fight for us, who heals our every ill with compassion and grace. Here peace is found beyond our fears and gives us hope beyond our sorrows, beyond our knowing, beyond our ways of self-healing. So if you do not wish to come up to the communion rail for prayers of healing, that's okay. I would ask that you would sit and gently close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and let go of your day and let go of your week, and just focus on your breathing, breathing in and breathing out. And perhaps after a while you might want to join in singing. Above all, friends, know that God is desperate to love you, and with every breath invites you into the loving embrace of grace and mercy this day. You are loved, and you are enough. Amen.